Siman Shin Yud Zayin, Sef Vov, if I recall correctly.
So we didn't get to meet up on Monday?
We did not meet on Monday, no.
Okay.
Kashrut Chevel Bifnei Aporah B'Shil Shal Atetze. So the halacha is if you want to block the porter from leaving the stall or whatever it is, the building, so you put these ropes across the doorway, which prevents the animal from coming out. Now the problem is, should we be concerned that possibly that maybe after Shabbos he'll untie only one of the sides of the rope and leave the other one hanging there? Why not? You might use it again, and then end up being a kesher shel kayama because it's going to stay there for more than 24 hours. He's putting up the rope right now on both sides of the door. Means it wasn't one side already there from beforehand, already attached. It's now you're now attaching it on both sides. We're not worried about the possibility of him untying it later on after Shabbos, taking the animal out, untying it on one side, leaving the other side hanging, and you'll end up with the kesher shel kayama on the other side. We're not worried about that possibility. Okay, and that's actually a Mishnah. Zakta Mishnah Berurah in Sefer Katan Lamed. Shem Rashi, Pesach, the Mistama Yatar Shneim. We have a Kesher Shel Kayama. We assume probably he will untie both. Put in the Mutar Likshur Shneichem Volam Zulam Alam Izu. Not only that, you could even put one down here and one further up, and we're not choishes. Well, maybe what might happen is I'll untie the bottom one and sneak the animal down below it. We see usually the person will we're not going to leave both there. He'll eventually untie one and untie the other. So we'll eventually get to both. He wants to leave one there is awesome. So sometimes you have a situation where a rope at this height will not be affected because the animal could go beneath it, but once you put another one below it, it can't get out. But the one below will not work by itself, the one above will not work by itself. Together they'll both work. So I can just leave one there and I need to take the animal out, take it out to the bottom. We're not worried about that possibility.
So, is there an issue with tying a rope to an animal? Just chaining to the wall there? Is another possibility of keeping the animal where it is?
Your problem is, Seda, what's your problem? What are you worried about?
Working the animal, possibly. You're not attaching a yoke to it, but is there any issue with that?
No, just attaching the rope would not be a problem. I mean, Parah is not something which is considered seid on it because it's already not suited.
I was just curious because didn't offer that up as one of the possibilities necessarily.
Okay, Zion, metalzal in chevel shalgardi, lakasha be'evus ubaparah. You could take a chevel shalgardi perish which the mafarish over here puts in areg. Gardi is another name for a weaver. So they would make this woven type of a rope. It's a little bit fancy type of a rope. And you want to use it to attach. On one side, you'll attach to the feeding trough, the abus. The side, you're going to attach to the animal, to the porter. Well, Hashina, we're not worried about the possibility. Again, we're not worried about him untying only one side and leaving the other side attached. But a regular rope in this situation, you may not use, because we are concerned that you might end up just leaving the rope hanging on to, let's say, the avus, or attached to the animal, so whenever he has to go attach it to the avus, he has the rope there. Now, body middle of the kosher of the avus of a par, that what you say that chevel da'am is osir, is when you're going now on Shabbos and attaching it to both sides. But, alam hoya kosher be'evus, already was a rope attached to the trough. And you want to now go attach the other side to the porter. So you say, okay, one second. Okay, look at it. What should be the problem with that? I'm only attaching one end. Yeah, because the problem is that what you might decide to do is then leave it attached to the porter, not to the avis, and untie the avis side. and leave the parasite attached. We're not worried about that. So we attach it to both sides. Said the guy's going to just detach both sides and just leave it on the ground. Nah, let me stop. He'll leave it one of the two ends attached. But if it started out already with one end attached, and he attaches the second end on Shabbos, we're not worried that he's going to detach the wrong end. He'll detach the right end. Oh, you kosher part of it's the kosher mavis. Oh, yeah, you kosher part of it's the kosher mavis. Either way. Or if the rope is already attached to the part, he wants to attach the other end to the avis. Mutzer b'kol chevel, even a regular rope, even any type of rope, not only a fancy rope, is mutzer to do that. Laman al shalgardi. So a weaver's rope, well, goes in and shev otzer chevel da'alma. So a weaver's rope is that's a mischosher. You're not going to leave it there. But l'chara, why don't we say? I understand that, but l'maisa, you should make a gzeres rabbanon. If you allow me to do a chevel shalgardi, I might come and do a chevel da'alma. Well, because you know, to chevel da'alma, k'moy shekasa b'sim da'alma. But in the case of the bucket, we said you can't attach it with a chevel da'alma because you're going to leave the chevel da'alma attached to the bucket. Then we said not only that, you can't even use the chevel da'gardi because you might mix up a chevel da'gardi with a chevel da'alma. And the person will say, if I can do a chevel da'gardi, which obviously is valuable, you're not going to leave it attached to the bucket. I can do a chevel da'alma, and a chevel da'alma you're going to leave. The person will leave it attached to the bucket. So by the case of the bucket, we said you can't use chevel da'gardi, because the gzeirah, people will draw the wrong conclusion and say chevel is mutter. So teretz is, da'chav parah, afilah b'chevel da'alma l'sheyat yehesh ha'kayom. By the case of the bucket, it was very common, the person will leave the rope attached to the bucket. But for the case of Chevel Depor, it's not so common to leave it attached to either end. So even my regular rope. So it's a chashash, we're not going to make Chevel Degardi Osir because of Chevel Da'alma, which Chevel Da'alma itself is only a problem because you might leave it there, but it's not, even then it's not so common to leave it there. Chevel Degardi is Mutu Chashin, the Chevel Degardi Chashav, the Vodai Yanichasham. So he said in Lama Beis that Chevel Degardi is different, it's more expensive, you're not going to leave it there. But in case of a chevel da'alma, you can't attach it to the two ends, one end to the avos, one end to the parah. Because we're afraid, lama gimel, tell me yaniach resh echad kosher, I'll leave one end attached. And that's a problem. Well, in a time of shemuksa, the stam chevel shavais mukhan hu l'tashmash. The problem here isn't a chevel da'alma, is stam has no use. And the main use to use it for is tying things up, etc., which is also to do. So the chara is klishim not to lose. No, it's mukhan for any type of thing that you need it for. So therefore, it's not considered mukhan.
Rabbi, can we pause for a second? I'm not clear on what the situation is with what's being tied to what. And
so I have a trough here, mm-hmm. and I have a part.
Yeah.
So the first scenario is I want to come along and say, well, I want to attach the part to the trough. So I take a rope, and I tie one end to the trough, one end to the part. Mm. So I say, not a good idea. Why? Because it's very possible that when you're finished, you'll untie the trough side and leave it hanging on the animal, or vice versa. See, if it's a chevel da'gardi, which is an expensive chevel, you're not going to leave it. You're not going to do that. If it's a chevel da'alma, you might do that. Okay? If it's already attached to one end, so then I can attach the other end to whatever it is. Yeah?
Thanks.
Good. Okay. If it's already attached to one end, what's the b'chol chevel? The stoma, oisa, akesha, shayi kvar, menicha, liyas, kosher, matar, resh, hashem. Why is it mutter in the case it's attached to one end? I said, listen, it's already attached to the trough. Comes my animal, and I tie another animal on the animal on the other end. Well, maybe I'm going to leave it attached to the animal. No, the normal thought process, what happens, the normal non-thought process, right? If you don't think, what's your automatic thing? You untie the one you just tied, right? If it was attached over here to the trough already from before Shabbos, and he comes on Shabbos and he ties on the animal, he's not going to leave that one tied and untie the other end. The normal, without thinking, the natural thing is you untie the one you just tied, so he'll detach that one over there, right? Okay. Call Kasha Shalapomim Nimloch Umavatli Shamla. Okay, now Mishnah Berurah adds a new point over here, which is not mentioned in the Shulchan. We finished with the Shulchan Aruch. He's going to add a few points over here. Okay? Number one, a kasher which it is normal that a person, it's possible the person will leave it there. He had no intent specifically to leave it there. Okay? But the problem is, it's also in Rabbanan. There is a concern over here that since sometimes people will, so sometimes you'll take this belt or whatever it is that you've attached. Now I don't the actual physical mitzvahs, I don't understand. I can't conceptualize 100%. But apparently, it was some type of a strap that he attached to the pants. He had no real need the dafka to take it off, so you shouldn't be putting it there unless a person would have a specific intent of a dafka to take it off, because we're afraid otherwise the person might end up leaving it there. Because we'll think about it, let's end up leaving it there. Why not? It's a good place to keep it. And he says that in the beginning of the Simon, way back when, he spoke about a knot which you're not putting it there specifically, you're putting it there not that it should stay, but you have no intent specifically to take it off. Is that called the oilam or not? In other words, it's like one scenario. There's three possible scenarios. One was I wanted to stay. One, I couldn't care less if it stays, but I'm aware I'm probably going to end up leaving it there. And one is I have no intent. I'm not thinking about the possibility, but it's very possible I will leave it there because that's like, why not? It's a good place to leave it, right? So scenario number one, obviously, a person is putting their intent to stay there. That's mama shema. That's a kesher kiyam. Scenario number two, where the person says, "I know I'm going to leave it there, but I don't really care if it stays there or not. But like, I have no intent to take it off, and I really don't, I'm going to leave it there." So that's a shiloh which I'm going to talk about. I mean, a raya from a Rashi in Sukkah. That's called a case shakayama. Rashi Sukkah in the third parak. But the question we hear was about our case is a case of a kesher which he says a kesher which is a feel in a shakayama, but it's normal for people sometimes to leave it there. The Mishnah Berurah here said that it's also minabonon. He brings a sheet of the Urayim that he holds that case would be the rice, since it's very possible you're going to leave it there. You have no intent to take it off. So, you're not putting there with dafka to stay, but you have no intent to take it off. So that case, it would have a din of an issur d'oraisa, possibly, according to the Urayim.
What if it's normally a kesher shakayama, but you have specific intention to not, to untie it?
Is there a din of butla daitle? Is that your question?
Yeah. Well, also, does a das yachid matter?
So the Mishnah Berurah over there in the Berurah Lach in that case discusses it also. If a derek, if everybody is to make it l'kviyus, we don't go b'sa daitoy, and we don't go b'sa daitoy in that situation. Okay, that's number one. Second halacha, ochle behem amutar l'kshu behem b'shabbos b'lashach b'keshe shakayama. So you would have like these pliable type of reeds, which basically you would use them for animal fodder. Humans were not getting such things. But they're pliable enough that you could actually tie something with them. So you're allowed to tie with them. The Mor says on oichle behema, because batsim it's not a thing which is made for the purpose of tying things. It doesn't get a shame shakayoma, kesh shakayoma. Now, comes along the kozum b'chayot. That's the Mor says. And that's the Rambam pasuk. It would sound like, that's it. Exeris akosiv, ochle behema. There's no din kasher on ochle behema. Comes the chayon. It says no. Because of Hayadam Davka Begemi Lach, Kiyotzebai, it's a type of a pliable type of a reed. The Cheshi Yisyavesh Tinotek, the nature of them is when they dry out, they taka fall apart. So the knot, by definition, will pull apart. Avakash Kiyotzebai, if it's straw, or you have like you make your kesher out of your lulav leaves, which even when they dry out, they stay tight. Dinner ketevin, which the Gemara says you can't use. I'm a Gemara kufi beis, kufan zayin on beis, or ayin shabranash. I'm very loch of mashik saft and bezeh. So in other words, the Rambam's lashon was when it was more the Michael Behema, you're allowed to tie it up in Shabbos because there's no din kosher and etc. He's saying that they're limiting that. Okay, last halacha that he adds over here: apozel chavolim chay mashum kosher, and afridan enam benim chayim on the kalkul chay mashum mat. So a person takes. Okay, there's a malach of toiva. Toiva is making spinning thread. So I already have thread which is spun. And I want to take a few strands and wind them together to create a thicker type of a rope. Yeah. So what malach is that? It's not toiva. Toiva is when you take strands and you take fibers and all these little fibers end up becoming one long thread. Over here, the issue is not just one long thread. It's distinct fibers, but now you've twined them together to make a thicker type of a rope or whatever it is. So the Rambam comes along and says that goes under the malacha of kosher. Because since they're made, if a person does it right, they stay. Right? Whatever the nature of the item, how to do it. I think the way they do it is why doesn't it unravel? So the way to do it is if you do it right, when you spin, you can spin your thread in a clockwise motion or a counterclockwise motion. So if I spin thread A clockwise and I spin thread B counterclockwise, and then I then twine the two together, they don't unravel. Because the fibers are twisted, so the fibers hold each other because they go in different directions, they hold each other together. So they would do that. So he says, so that's considered kosher, because that's considered that you're taking, it's a form of tying two things together. That's the Chiddush of the Rambam. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam, it's not a Gemara. It's a Rambam. So one of the famous questions and the applications of this is your twist ties on Shabbos. Right, so what is it? You put a round thing, you take the two pieces and you twist them together. That's twining. So there are definitely that Shmir Shabbos brings this as a question from Zalman, that he held it maybe considered goes under this or posel chavolim, and it should be also. However, and that's always how I've assumed. So I see now over here in the Mosef Dirshu that he brings from Rishon Zalman Taka that maybe it's a problem. Shema Dharma, etc. And he says the same thing that you would have the wine bottles and have the cage of metal cage over it and you
champagne,
champagne and you it's not there. It's the same opposite of that.
By a twist tie though, it's not like two opposite motions. A twist tie, I mean, you could theoretically do a twist tie in a way that it's just like wrap.
Oh, so going around like this is not a problem.
Going around one one stationary piece and wrapping around that.
Right, that's not a problem. The problem is if you twist them together. Now, I have to tell you, I remember seeing somebody, I was expecting him to bring it over here, maybe he does, but I remember somebody came along and says that he holds it's not a sushta. Because they're made out of they're made out of metal. He brings over here that the Shevet Levi says that it's made. He says a few swears why he holds its mutter because it's made for a short period of time. A, B, it's just made to close the thing. Not made that you want to try. You're not trying to create a new entity. Of this thing, the thread together. Some will say that the fact that it's metal, they say somewhat distinct and separate. There's a few swears why it should be mutter. So he says that definitely I see why there's a makom demachmer, but anyone who wants to make it, he has to be somewhere to make it. So I'm not pasuk halacha ma'aseh, so you have to ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But anyway, okay.
So also, it seems like from what the Mishnah Berurah was saying, it almost seems like you have to have multiple pieces and you're kind of weaving them together. So when you have a twist tie, it's one piece, and you don't have two distinct pieces there.
Right. So the interesting thing would be, so let's change the scenario, and I would have a long thread, and I would turn it over once, and I would start twisting it together. Probably shouldn't be any difference.
That's what I think.
It should not be any different. It should be also.
Oh, I would thought that the language there would say it wouldn't be. Because it seems like you're twining multiple entities together.
I mean, anyway, you make a rope. I mean, the twining, if I have a very, very long thing and I fold it over and I make a thicker twine out of it, it's also be the same problem. But I hear you're saying, it's a good point. It's a good point. We did discuss the musik of kosher on... We discussed kosher does not have to be two separate items tied together. Remember, we discussed making a knot in one thread itself was even more chomer than in two. So it doesn't have to be. The other application of this, by the way, is if your tzitzis untwine, so you want to just like pull it tight and they'll snap back and come twined together again. You can't do that on Shabbos. You shouldn't do that. You have to be careful with that. You should also be careful not tightening your knots on, which is obvious, right? Don't tighten your knots on your the issue is not just making a knot, but tightening a knot which is coming loose is also a issue. So a person shouldn't tighten his knots on his own Shabbos.
But if, because usually it has the two knots, so if you were to tighten and the second knot has come out, so the first knot, which couldn't you tighten that one? Is that one...
If you just,
it's not the double knot. It's a single knot.
You mean?
Yeah.
If one came out already, you want to just tighten the other one.
So it won't completely come out. On the other hand, it has that whole twisted. The twist itself above it. Does that count as a second knot? Or?
It's a good question. I have to tell you that I remember somebody suggesting that. And I don't remember what it was, Raya was, whether that, the sushtel to the two different things together. It's a good point, it's a good idea. I don't remember exactly.
It doesn't matter because your intention is that it will remain that way.
Right, but we said before, if you make a kesher which is, you could say, according to Rashi, it's also. According to Rama, it's mutter, it's not shaluman. According to Rashi, it's also. According to Rashi, even if it's not a kesher shaluman.
Intention.
See, that's true.
Because I thought we paused like that. It's just that we were just machmer on the shel uman because of.
I understand. But the question is if it's one knot alone, and two items, which in the derech is it's not going to hold. Even you wanted to leave it there, you're planning to add it a second after Shabbos. It's how this mice itself, it's bechal, doesn't, it's not going to hold. I'm not sure that that's case is also.
You're saying that since the string doesn't hold, or you're saying that since the string doesn't hold if it's tied by itself?
Just that one knot. If you just have one knot, you don't make a second knot.
So this one's there, right. And then there's this one on top. So if
the bottom one's already untied.
Yeah, that's the situation. I've had that happen on Shabbos.
The base one.
This, I don't even do it.
No, just the top one.
Yeah,
top
one this one came out, and then I was worried.
That it was going to fall apart.
The second one was going to fall off. I mean, what I actually did, I just didn't...
Was it like that, or was it completely apart?
That's not it. No, this was completely apart. This one's completely apart. Pretend that's completely apart. The top one is completely apart, and I don't want the second one.
So you just keep it safe like that?
So I wanted to tighten... What I wanted to do was to tighten this. What I did, really, was I just let it sit there, and then I forgot about the question, and I forgot to ask. But, yeah, so could you tighten the first one? Not the second one that's on top. Because the first one by itself will come out after a while.
You know what? I don't know. Let me look into it. It's a good question. But
to be clear, though, if it were to stay, though, and it's just one knot, that's still awesome.
That's my question. You know, theoretically, you should be right. But I think the nature is that the swar, why normally we always discuss kesher, gabi kesher. The only case that they say one kesher is also is what's in one thread itself, one kesher stays. Right? But tying something onto itself, one kesher stays. But normally, one kesher by itself is not osur.
Because it won't stay.
It won't stay. So even though your intention is to add on after Shabbos a second one to make it stay, so it's like the beginning of the maisa. But the maisa, you didn't do anything yet.
But by the aniva, though, if it has a knot under it, and we say even though that's normally not going to mechayev, if you have it to show for shel kayama, then it's going to be considered osur. Would that be similar here, though, even though...
No, because that over there, the question is, if you have one kesher, then you have a neva on top, even though neva doesn't have a kesher, but it makes the bottom one...
Hold.
Right? So that over here, I don't have a kesher which is going to hold. I don't know. That's a good question. Okay. Simen Shin Yurches. Okay, so the first, actually, the first sif is Simen Shin Yurches, which is Simen Yurches is halachas of Bishul and Shabbos. The first sif actually deals with the halachas of what's called Maisa Shabbos. If a person is Machal Shabbos and he does Malacha on Shabbos, regards to benefiting from that Malacha that the person did. It discusses it in the context of Bishul, but it's lav dafka Bishul, it's any malacha. Okay, so that is the first sif. Now, what Mishnah Berurah, that, you know, that's really like a side point. The first two sif, we talk about that. But starting from sif Gimel and onwards, it talks about the malacha of Bishul. Mishnah Berurah gives a long introduction, which is about malachas of Bishul, even though it's not so specific to Sif Aleph, because that's not really the point of Sif Aleph. It really would theoretically belong before Sif Gimel, but you know, the simon is about Bishul, so the Mishnah Berurah is before Bishul. So let's see the introduction first. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah, I'm a Vashel. A lot of the introduction is based on the Rambam. Echad am a Vashel as a Maicha, whether the person is cooking food, or Eses Samamonim, or he's cooking a dye, and by cooking it brings out the color of the herbs, whatever he uses to create that color. Hamachamim esamayim, warms up water. Ratzalomer, which the point that Rama means to say is, Mishnah Berurah explains, after mayim roi l'shtia b'loy bishul, even though you could drink the water without bishul, so that maybe that's not considered bishul, because not really adding something new. A piece of raw chicken, you make it cooked, okay, it changes from raw to cooked, that's bishul. Water, so it's, now it's hot water, no. So I would possibly think that that's not chayav. Wood and chol, the same thing when it comes to milk. You can drink milk as is, fresh milk. So cooking it is not considered necessary. I might mistakenly think that's not considered bishul. So the point we're saying over here is that there's an element which you're adding. Obviously, you want hot water, that's why you're cooking it, or you want the milk to be pasteurized. You want to add something through the bishul, and therefore that's considered you have added something. Vechad ha'if is a pas, or a person bakes bread. So the first three scenarios are all are cooking, what we call bishul, or the malacha of afia. They both go under the same malacha of bishul. It's considered one malacha of bishul. Dafiyahu minyan bishul. It's along the same lines, using heat to create some type of a difference in a food. El shafiyahu bepas, bishul, bishari, If he applies to baking, to doughs, etc., and Bishul applies to other types of things. Okay. Number one. Number two. Zot Rambam Vayter Hamatich Echad Mimini Matuchos Kosher. A person melts metal, even a minimal amount. Or he heats it up to the point where it doesn't melt, but it becomes hot enough that it could glow. It becomes a gachelis. Hareza told us mavashal. That's considered the malacha. It's a told of the malacha mavashal. Why is that? How is it a told of mavashal? Through heating it, he is softening it. Which is now it makes it more pliable, etc. You can use it to make a kli out of it, etc. So the Mora says that the Malach of Bishul has in it the element of softening something hard. The definition of a tolda versus an av. So there's a Maga Mishnah says that if you look at each malacha, which you have in the Mishkan, you have the actual mice of the malacha, and you have the purpose that is being done for. Any mice which will parallel the mice which is done in the Mishkan, even though the result will be different, or anything which creates the result, even though the mice is different, has a din of a tolda. That's the basic rule. I mean, there are some exceptions, but that's the basic rule. So here I'm taking the results of cooking a piece of chicken and the results of heating up a piece of metal might be different, but the process is you're taking something, putting the fire, and softening it up. You know, all those things seem to go together, so it gets a status of a toll. Okay, once you're at that, so Mr. Burr, Dr. Ritzaraman, really. V'chein ha-mamase says, if a person melts wax, that is only for shaiva, for wax, as a chaliv or tallow, as a zephis or pitch, v'akoyfer v'agofris, the koyfer is lime, gofris is sulfur, k'yatzibahen, so you melt them down. Reza told us, mevashal v'chay, all these are told of mevashal v'chay. V'chen ha-mevashal, other rounds, you take a clay vessel, you put it into the kiln, and you heat it. Vashu clay adama sheyosa cheres, and it becomes now cheres, earthenware. Chayv mishum vashu. That's chayv al tzma vashu. Now, the Mishnah Berura says, and this is based on the Rashi in the Gemara. It's a Rebbeinu Chananel in the Gemara. So the question is, how exactly is that a told the mavashal? You're hardening something. The kadam shemischazak akli minitzer ba'kivshin minasacheres keroy misbashal bo tichal akli. So before it hardens, there's an act of bishul taking place. You're cooking up the tit, which is there. So the tit heats up, etc. V'chein ha'noisin chatichas eitz matanar kneshis yavesh. A person takes a piece of wood. To dry out the wood, you want to cure your wood that it should be hard. So you put it into the fire. So that's chayiv. Yiduushim itchila hu misrap aviyatzimen alachluchis. So what happens is all of the moisture which is there starts coming out. So the first thing which happens is that it softens and then it hardens. Chayiv shum avashel. So that's chayiv because of avashel. That's a Rashi. Okay. Zeh klal shadar. So final rule, bein sheripa guf kosher ba'esh, whether you soften something, or shehiksha guf rach, or you harden something, and the Sharatzian points out a dalad, and again, we're assuming that usually the natural process of before it hardens, it softens, so our definition remains the same, that it's some process of softening, but every case of hardening has softening in it first, reza chai v'shem avash. All these are part of the totals of Avashal, and all this is the Rama Perikness. Okay. Well, Ken Yeshizur Ma'oit, Shlodaniach, Eitzim Lachem Alatana, Liyabshan Achashkiya Sachama, Duh Chashash Teraisa. You shouldn't put some wood near by the tanner to dry out, because you're talking about Chashash Teraisa. a few examples of that where you have this chashash, you know, or a similar type of maisa, which we have a chashash. We'll see later on. A person wants to take clothing which is wet, and you want to put it on top of the radiator to dry off. You know, the good old steam radiators, right? That I grew up with, right? You know, you put it on. I mean, it cooks. You know, you take those gloves off afterwards, and they're phenomenally geschmack. I mean, the mamash is boiling hot. Yeah, but if there's water in there, so you're doing bishul on the water, and B, you're possibly doing malabin also, because as the moisture is going out, it's taking out, it cleans out, it bleaches out any dirt which is there. So it's like that, like malabin.
Even if it was set from Erev Shabbos.
No problem for the Erev Shabbos, but if it comes in from the good old Cleveland winter and it's nice and wet, gloves, etc., you want to put them on the radiator to dry out on Shabbos. Uh-huh. So you can't put it there. Any place where you can get a yatzah lettuce, you have a problem.
But I don't understand, the water's not going to cook at all. Like, it's not going to boil and then steam away. It's going to just evaporate rapidly from the heat.
Well, I mean, theoretically, if the way we understand evaporation is that that little particle gets to the point where it's at its boiling point, that it vaporizes it to steam. The reason why it doesn't affect us is because the piece is so small, but it doesn't become steam before 2:12.
I don't know. I'm saying from its CS.
I'm telling you physics.
It hits 2:12 on. I mean, like
the definition of boiling point is the definition in physics of a boiling point of any item is the temperature at which the item changes from a liquid or a solid into a vapor. That's the definition of boiling point, which means it doesn't happen before that.
Right.
Now the reason why you put a thermometer into your thing of water and it says 190, but there's steam coming out is because there's some of the small particles that which have gotten to a higher temperature and but the overall mass hasn't hit that temperature. Right? Had everything hit that temperature, you would have no water left.
Right.
Right. So that's why, you know, when we say something's boiling, it means not every single thing hit the boiling point. There's enough hitting the boiling point that a lot of steam is coming out, but whatever's steaming is hit 2:12, whatever's not didn't hit 2:12. So it's only a question of...
I don't understand. If I have a whole pot of water and I'm sticking a thermometer into the water.
It says 190. Right? Let's say it says 200. Right?
There's no way for it to say 2:12 and there still be water there? Is that what we say? I can't have a pot of water that's 213 degrees?
No.
Impossible.
Impossible. Only unless you have a pressure cooker.
It's obvious you didn't take chemistry.
But you can heat steam up beyond 212. So just, you know, this is now a safety message. Steam can be hotter than 212. Uh-huh. So that's very so steam can be very dangerous.
That's why it always burns me
here. Yeah. right, okay.
So why do we say that's an issue of Bishel there? Because that water that's in your gloves is not, it's not, you're not going to drink it, and there's no, and the similarly, there's the tola there. You're not taking that for any usage at all. So it's a you don't need the work that's being done, and also it's not a.
So you're asking a very good question. So let's go back a step, and I'll ask the question over here. The Gemara says a person takes a piece of wood and throws it into the oven to dry out. He's chayv because of mavash.
Yeah.
Rashi says the why is chayv because of mavash? Because before it hardens, it softens. Yeah. I couldn't care less if it softens.
Yeah,
I just want to harden.
But that's the process of how it dries, correct?
Right, but that's how the process how it dries. It pulls the lachlukas out by doing so. It softens, and I want that process to take place.
Yeah.
So that's considered. The Gemara says that I have das for that part of the process also. So then, theoretically, anything which I'm doing, which I want to dry out, which first, all of the moisture which is in there is going to cause it to. As I heat the thing up, you'll be more aware of all the moisture because it's going to pull out all the moisture which is like hidden in all different places and make it softer, and then it's going to harden. It should be the same thing as a piece of wood. I want that process to take place. I want to end up with a dry, coat. But I want to pull out all that moisture which is stuck in all the different parts of the in the coat.
That same point, and we don't say
Dovah Shehinu Miskaven
there?
That's the Gemara says Chayim. That's the thing. It's a fascinating Gemara. Okay. Okay, the Gemara says over there, since over there, this is how the process always worked, and I want the process to take place,
right.
Therefore I want the process that's called, I want that step also. Right.
It's like
Basal Gabi Gacholim. You know what? Let's... You know, let's just see if we can just finish off to Bayes, get all of this done. He didn't have possible coal, and person puts meat onto the coals. If it's Lia Gemurah, Kashir Gargaris, Chayiv. If it fully roasts, so there's two things you have to talk about, the amount of food which has to roast and the amount of roasting which has to take place. The quality of the roasting, the quantity and the quality. So he says, first of all, the quality is full roasting, but the quantity is the amount of the size of a gorgeris, of a dried fig. Fill a gorgeris eno b'mokem echod, al mislakem mishnayim mishlashim mekayim. Miskam kin chay. There's a little bit here, a little bit there, but you add up all the places where it's roasted totally, and it's the size of a gorgeris, that person would be chayiv. It's also even less than that. But the chiyiv chatos is only by shayiz of gorgeris. Now, now the quality, it didn't roast totally, it only roasted kamachem endrusoy. Gam ken chayv. Okay. What's kamachem endrusoy? We'll see later on. The machloek is whether it means half cooked or one third cooked. Okay. The Chazanish says, how do you define half cooked and third cooked? It's an interesting Chazanish, which is, I hear why he did it, but it's difficult to understand the Metzius. He says it depends on time. If someone takes an hour to cook, 20 minutes is a third cooked, half an hour is a half cooked. Now, usually the physics of how these things work is like, you know, it'll sit for half an hour and very minimal change will take place. In the last half hour, you'll see a tremendous amount of change. He doesn't work like that. He says if it takes an hour to cook, 20 minutes is called Kiddush.
And more okay. Makel?
What?
Comes.
Well, he's creating. Let's stop here.